HarperCollins presents The Life of Birds, written and read by David Attenborough. Introduction. It's easy to understand why so many of us are so fond of birds. They're lively, they're lovely, and they're everywhere. They have characters with which we can easily identify, cheeky and shy, gentle and vicious, faithful and faithless. Many enact the dramas of their lives in full view for all to see. They're part of our world, yet, at a clap of our hands, they lift into the air and vanish into their own with a facility that we can only envy. And they are an ever-present link with the natural world that lies beyond our brick walls. It's hardly surprising that human beings have studied birds with greater dedication and intensity than they've lavished on any other group of animals. The first task of ornithology was to give names to birds. Every society, of course, has produced its own version, often in great detail. In the 18th century, the Swedish naturalist Charles von Linné proposed a uniform way of classifying all living things based on the names used by Greek and Roman naturalists. That, greatly refined and elaborated, remains the system used by scientists all over the world ever since. Today, 250 years later, we've found names for some 10,000 different species of birds. Museums and other scientific institutions have accumulated cabinets full of bird specimens with dozens, sometimes hundreds, of examples of each species, each one carefully prepared, meticulously measured, with every tiny variation in coloration and size duly noted. The introduction of portable binoculars and, later, photography allowed that high expertise to spread into the field. Now it's no longer necessary to shoot a bird to identify it. Now ornithologists have become so expert that they can identify a wild living bird from a snatch of song or the briefest glimpse of its plumage or silhouette. That is a skill which I greatly admire, but one, alas, that I do not possess. But that is not what this book is about. My fascination with birds comes from watching how they behave. Ornithologists began to study this aspect of their subjects rather earlier than those working in many other branches of zoology. While big-game hunters were still shooting antelopes in the belief that establishing the maximum size of the horns of any species told us something important, and were arguing on the basis of skin patterns how many species of giraffe exist, ornithologists were beginning to investigate the journey birds make. To do this, they needed to identify individuals. One technique, which those working with other animals were somewhat slower to adopt, was to use tags or bands. Jean-Jacques Audubon, back in the early 19th century, is said to have tied coloured threads on the legs of flycatchers that each summer visited his parents' mill in Pennsylvania, and so established that birds which nested there reappeared the following spring after their migration south, and nested in exactly the same place. That in itself was an astonishing finding, but a mere hint of what will be discovered about the extraordinary abilities of birds. Those discoveries, however, were a long time coming. Individual birds of the same sex and species tend to resemble one another more closely than do those of any other large animal. Scientists working with elephants quickly learned to distinguish individuals from the irregular shape of their huge ears. Chimpanzees have faces that are as different from one another as those of human beings. Humpback whales have different white patterns on the flukes of their black tails. Lions, being of a quarrelsome disposition, tend to acquire characteristic scars on their muzzles, and even if they don't, have whiskers that vary in their number and disposition. But it's
Sample complete. Ready to continue?